The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tupper's Plains, Ohio. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and enjoy an exciting service and experience. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Be able to introduce Pastor Greg Collins to you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It is great to be with you. And first of all, I want to honor your pastor and his wife. They are awesome, awesome man and woman of God. And I praise the Lord for them. I also want to honor Pastor Otis and Ivy. They bless my heart. Their ministry just reaches deep down into my soul. And when they speak into my life, I found how valuable it is and important. And so thank you all so very much. Truly, it is a pleasure and an excitement to be with you today. It's kind of a homecoming. Some of you might not know, I was raised just right up the road here, about 3 miles. If you go to drive out of Tupper's Plains and see that old yellow house having a new basement or whatever put underneath it, that's where I was raised, right there and right across the road from it. And spent a good part of my early years right there. And so this is kind of like coming home. Amen. Grandma used to take me up to the old church, the little white church on the hill, the Church of Christ over there, across from the traffic light, the flashing caution light, and the Dairy Queen up there on the hill by the fire department. And that's where I first heard about Jesus, and didn't know him at that time, but I at least heard about him. Grandma put the seed there, so thank the Lord for it. But I want to share a word with you, and it just struck me. I wrote down a note why Pastor Rob was talking. He was talking about speaking to these things in your life. And then I find out Otis preaches about speaking to those dry bones. And it's interesting because I'm going to talk to you today about speaking in your tongue today, and hopefully show you something you might not have ever seen in Scripture before. Let me speak to what we see going on in the world today. You can look at it and say it's chaos, it's craziness, and you're absolutely right. But let me tell you what I see. Number one, anytime you see anything that rises that tries to divide us, you know at the root of it is one called Satan. This is one of the greatest spiritual attacks that's happened to the United States of America since its conception, what is going on today. And I believe the mantle that fell on me here about 8 weeks ago, right prior to me going to Nicaragua, was that the Lord said to me I needed to prepare a people to do spiritual warfare. Because this is a spiritual battle. And it's also a failure of the church not to be the voice that we were supposed to be. Scripture says that the lawless one won't be revealed till he that restraineth is removed. And I come from the old Baptist background where everybody always said, well, when the Holy Spirit's taken away, that's when the Antichrist will be revealed and the church is gone and everything else. Listen, nowhere in Scripture does it say the Holy Spirit restrains anything. He's to comfort, to teach, and to guide us. We are the ones called salt and light. We've been given the power and authority. It is the body of Christ that should be suppressing evil in the world today. And as a church and as the body of Christ, there are things that we don't understand. See, honestly, moving to Georgia was a little bit of a culture shock for me. Come on. I live in my neighborhood that I live in is probably 90% Hispanic. I spent the 4th of July with a Hispanic family in the area that happens to be the parents of my youth pastor's wife, and they own the local, one of the best restaurants I've ever ate in, Los Amigos Restaurants. And you know, an old boy from West Virginia, that's kind of apart from his culture. But let me tell you something that I've learned, and I thank the Lord for it. I don't understand, nor do I need to understand everybody's background. You understand? For me, a white guy, I can't understand your plight, brother. I don't know what all you've had to endure and what all you've been through. But do you want to know what my responsibility is? Is to stand beside him and support him and to tell him I love him. And not having to understand it, but know that I know him. And see, that's where we're missing it today. Why can we not just say, I don't understand it, but I love you and I know you and I'm going to be with you through this. That destroys division because it's at the essence of love. The church needs to wake up. Because until the church understands it and gets it, the world will not get it. And so we got to learn how to speak. Because listen, the media today, they love controversy and division. It's money to them. They've learned how to speak. We as the body of Christ must learn how to speak. And so if you got your Bible with you, I want you to turn with me to the book of James. And I believe this man, one of the things I've started doing in our church back in Georgia, almost forgot where it's from, and I couldn't even remember the name of it a minute ago, or a second, brother. I was like, what? Yeah, okay. But we've got in this thing, this mantle is this spiritual warfare, and I begin teaching this to the people down there is learning how to do war against the principalities and the powers and the spiritual wickedness and all of these things, because that's what we face. It's not issues of flesh and blood. What we see going on today is not a battle of flesh and blood nor skin. It's a spiritual battle. If God cannot see male or female, then I'm going to make it's a pretty good assumption he doesn't see color either. We need to get a hold of that, church. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. And then hopefully here towards the end of this thing, I want to show you something that I think the Lord's getting ready to do that maybe you have never seen before. Because one of the greatest things that I enjoy that the Lord has given me is the operation and the power of the Holy Spirit in my life and his giftings. And coming from a Baptist background, I've always been told those things were for a day long ago. And I'm going to destroy a little bit of that old ideology today. So if you got your Bible and you've turned to the book of James, I want you to turn to the third chapter. And this morning, I was going to start with about the first verse, but I think I'm going to go just a little bit further down. And I'm going to find it myself. And I'm going to start with verse 6. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me for the reading of God's word out of respect for God's word. Beginning with the 6th verse, it says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison, wherewith we bless God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God." I'm going to stop right there for a second. I love what Pastor said. In church, you're going to have conflict. But I want you to remember this the next time you go to speak against somebody. You're speaking against one who's made in the likeness of God. Because that's exactly what that's saying. It's saying, out of this mouth we curse men which are made in the similitude or the likeness of God. So you might as well be cursing God. Out of that same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, beareth olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man endureth with knowledge among you? Let him show out of good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd use me as your vessel to speak through, that I would be your mouthpiece. Give me revelation to your word this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now, I know when we read this scripture, you can think maybe this might be a negative type message, but it really isn't. It's very positive. And I want you to get to that with me, but you just got to bear with me for a minute because I really need to lay down some foundation. We're talking about the tongue. You know, the tongue is the only member of our body, really, where God gave it a movable cage. You can open your mouth or you can close your mouth. It can run or it can shut up. It's just totally up to you. But the scripture is clear that there is something about the tongue that makes it unruly. That it's amazing that some of the fastest gossip I've ever seen in the world went burning through the church. I mean, I've done things and had encounters and had things happen in a church service, and before I get home, it's down at the bar. I mean, it's amazing how it can travel. So the tongue truly is an unruly member. But I want you to understand about this thing about the tongue that Scripture declares is this: the tongue is really controlled by the heart. Now, the tongue is unruly, but it's still controlled by the heart. Listen to what it says, Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the tongue is always a direct reflection of the condition of the heart. Come on. If you get someone that just loves to gossip, you know, and everybody knows one. You know, I remember the day right out here of the party line. Y'all remember that day? My lands, there was more clicks and hang-ups and listens and hookups than you had ever heard. And people love to pick that phone up and to just listen what someone else was talking about. You know, there was always that gossip always fires up people, and they're quick to tell that, and they're quick to share that. And they always start the conversation like this: I'm going to tell you something, but please don't tell anybody else. Listen. If you got to put a disclaimer with it, you probably ought not be messing with it. Amen? I'm telling you. But truly, Scripture teaches, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. Now, in Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Whether you speak blessing or whether you speak cursing, whether you bless someone or curse someone, you're going to eat of the fruit of whatever you just did. And so, as in the body of Christ, one of the most guarded places we need to find in our life is how we speak. How we speak into things, because there is truly power in our words. If we are to say we are made in the image of God, the greatest attribute and similitude to that which we are like God is our ability to speak things into existence. Now, I do not believe that you can just go out here. I've heard this before, the old phrase, name it and claim it. Well, you can name it and claim it. But you can't name it and claim it if you got a multitude of sin in your life. See, there's some prerequisite to naming it and claiming it. You can't live and walk like the devil and then act like God. So we got to get this in mind. And the question is, who are you most like? Genesis 1 and 3 said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Do you realize in the book of Genesis, it does not mention one thing, or nor does it ever say that God created darkness? Go read it and look it up. Go read the account, because it says darkness was on the face of the deep. Nowhere did God speak darkness into existence. Darkness was self-evident. What God did do, though, was speak light. He spoke good. Even God didn't speak evil. So, you know, we can be like God by speaking good things into our lives. We can walk up to our brother and encourage them, and we can speak goodness into their life. And I believe we can speak against disease. I know for sure we can speak against the demonic. Because believe me, I've been there and dealt with it. And so when we begin to speak the good things of life, when we begin to speak blessings, then we begin to embody the nature of God himself. But on the other side of the coin, you have to remember that there was a serpent in Genesis 3 and 1, and he was more cunning than any beast of the field which God had made. And he said to woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat out of every tree of the garden? See, there was a serpent who spoke also. And he took that word and he spoke it into existence. And Eve grabbed that word. She ate that word. Then she ate that fruit. Then the man ate that fruit. And then now we're in a mess. And it was all the direct result of a word that was spoken by Satan. You shall eat the fruit thereof. And so we see that we can embody the nature of God, or we can also embody the nature of Satan. Listen to what Isaiah said about him. He said, you have said in your heart. Where does the tongue come from? The rule comes out of the abundance of your heart. Watch this. This is speaking of Satan. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit in the mount of the congregation of the farthest sides of the north. Out of your heart, out of the abundance of your heart, Satan, you spoke these things. So as a body of Christ, we have to learn how to use our tongue to speak blessing and to speak life and not to speak negativity. And not to speak death and not to bring forth curse into the body and into the people around us. Somebody comes up and they've got an illness and they want to be prayed for it, and we begin to pray and we hear what God is saying and we declare healing, and then back in the back somebody's sitting back there and says, I don't just know if that works or not. Wow, thanks. Do you ever wonder why Jesus went into the room when he's getting ready to raise the girl from dead and he put everybody out of the house? He was about to speak life. He didn't need no death. And I don't know about you. I see enough negativity, and I see enough death, and I see enough curses. I don't need none when I come together with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Yes, who you are most like will always be revealed in your tongue. Especially when you're all alone. Let's talk about when we're like God. Again, I don't want to be in the negative. I want to move into the positive. Luke 1:37 says, for with God, nothing will be impossible. You know, whatever it is you face today, it is not impossible for God. You believe that? Well, I kind of hope that. I'm kind of sure am hoping that's right, preacher. Let me tell you what happened to me here just not too long ago. It was a rough couple years for me in my life before we left. Wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I'm telling you. And life was turned upside down, inside out. And, you know, a couple of deaths in the family between wife and mom. And then in May of 2015, my sister gets word that she's got stage 4 cancer. Mass has got her right lung blocked off. It's up into her lymph nodes. They get the checking, it's in her liver. They get the checking, it's in her hips, it's in her bones. She goes to the treatment facility. They immediately put her on a wheelchair and everything else because they do not want her to even take a step off of a curb because she could step it, not trip, not fall, just step, and her hip would break. It was ate up like that. And so, you know, I thought, Lord, is it not enough? You know, I thought, can't take much more. And I'll never forget, I was sitting in the service, and I was sitting there, brother, and I was sitting there, and I was listening to the Lord, and I was praying. And I was sitting in the exact same spot where just a few weeks earlier I'd heard God say, get your affairs in order, I'm sending you to Georgia. And I thought, And of course, see, the church I went to still kind of does things the old way. They go into that voting process. And they get everybody together, and they're going to vote whether they liked you or not. Now, that in and of itself, that takes you back to the school board or the school day nightmares of being picked last. Anybody remember that? We're about to line up the teams, and you're thinking, dear Lord, I don't mind being next to last, but don't make me last, you know. So you're right back into that nightmare. And then they give you this great reassurance that when they tell you this, they say, now we're going to vote on you. Is that okay? Yeah, I guess so. Well, listen, you got to have 75% of the congregation. Truth. And I'm thinking, they ain't a politician in history. Got 75% of the vote. And he wasn't even dealing with church folks, Otis. I thought, woo! And then I'm sitting there and the Lord says, get your affairs in order, you're going to Georgia. And I'm thinking, you done lost your mind. You little bit loony sitting here because listen, church folk, 75% got to come into an agreement. Wow. They called, said, we've agreed to call you. I said, hallelujah. How much did I get? 86%. I thought, good Lord, it's a miracle. So I knew I heard God. So just a few weeks later, it wasn't long after that when I was getting ready to move that I found out my sister had cancer. And I thought, man, this is a bad time. This is the worst time possible to be moving. You know, Lord, what am I going to do? And I was sitting in that same spot. Same kind of, you know, you're apprehensive and everything else. And I heard the Lord say, this is not unto death. Thank you. And I thought, here we go again. First of all, you're going to Georgia. Well, Lord, that's probably not very possible. That's, you know, that's kind of a stretch. But then after this report that I know of, the Lord says, this is not unto death. And I'm thinking, Lord. And I didn't speak it. I kept it to myself. Because I thought, you know what, I don't want to give no false hope. And then I want to go out here and say this. And then next thing you know, something happened. And I look like an idiot and all this stuff. And everybody think you're just a dummy. And everything. I said, well, I'll just keep that to myself. Hey. I'm being honest. Now, I know there's some folks, they more spiritual than me, and they just, yeah, that's what the Lord said. Yeah, right. It's easy when it's someone else's house and not yours. Come on. Yeah, I'm trying, ain't that? I'm telling you. 6 months ago, she went back to the doctor. Guy done her scan, body scan. Now, you got married at stage 4. You get it around here, and that's a pretty good shot. You're done. Guy looks at her and tells her, he says, if I did not know that you had lung cancer, I could not read this report and tell that you do. She's not in a walker and stuff. As a matter of fact, she's sitting right there. She walked in tonight, this morning. And praise God, she's got hair back. She went back 1st of June, and their report was, no change, hasn't grown, hasn't changed. See you in 3 months. It's not unto death. She got a better chance of dying driving around with me in a car. Just say it.
Oh, great are you, Father.
With God,
yes.
Not some things, yes. Not a few things, but with God, all things are possible. Yes. Why? Because if God said it, that's it. It's done. And we got to learn that's the capacity he intends for his children to operate in. And so when we begin to do this, listen, this is what Jesus said in Matthew 17. He says, so Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. If you have the faith that you're willing to walk out there in the middle of the field with everybody looking at you and say, mountain, I tell you right now in the name of Jesus, move over there, nothing shall be impossible to you. But see, we get all worried about what the neighbor thinks. They might think I'm crazy. Might know I'm crazy. They have a tendency to leave me alone because they think I'm crazy. People won't rob your house if they think you're crazy. Them old redneck and come down up through there, strung out a little bit, look at your house and go, I ain't that high. Something's going on over there. Your language will be a direct reflection of your faith. Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you will confess with your mouth. See, God's all about speaking. God's all about speaking. Because when you speak, you reveal the abundance of your heart. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior, right there's your answer. If you will believe that, gosh, I remember the old Easter Sundays over here. I can remember the old preacher was a meat cutter at Kroger's. Can't remember his name, but I can remember he was a meat cutter for Kroger's. Somebody here might remember who he was. I don't. Big, heavy set, stocky guy. As a kid, loved to go stand on the porch when them old boys would be standing there. Some of the old Caldwells and some of them be out there and stuff. I can remember this one little old lady, she'd sing and bless my soul. I was a kid, you got to understand. But man, it was like one of them catter. And I'd be like, no world. And she just singing her heart out to the Lord because she loved Jesus. I believed it. I'd go to Easter sunrise service. They was having donuts afterwards, brother. There's a new battle in our neighborhood. They put in a brand new Krispy Kreme. Son, the light comes on, you think Jesus returned. I'm telling you. I mean, you know, it's. I was raised to believe it. And I got old enough to realize they were right. If you will believe in your heart and then confess it with your mouth, you will be saved. That's all you got to do. speaking the word. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. As long as we don't consume it on our own lust, as long as we bring in alignment with his word and his will, ask anything in my name and I will do it. And 1 John 5 says, now this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. I asked, he spoke, had a little doubt. Thank the Lord he understood my doubt. He said, I'll just go ahead and take care of it anyway, just to prove you wrong. Hallelujah. But I want to talk to you about the pure language. See, the language of flesh will fail you. Now, you could have walked up to me and said, this is not unto death. I would have to question that because the simple fact is I know you're in flesh. You might be operating out of emotion. You might be operating out of just a sense want to encourage someone. But see, God spoke to me out of the Spirit. And that made me think one day, and I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about this language, and I was thinking about the gift of tongues. I've had people say, you know, I want to have the gift of prophecy, and I want to have the gift of wisdom, and I want to have the gift of discernment. But, you know, I really don't know where I need this gift of speaking in tongues, and I really don't want that. You know, it's kind of, that's, you know, we can go about anywhere and talk about prophecy. We can go about anywhere and talk about wisdom, and we can talk about teaching, and we can talk about discernment, and we can talk about healing. We can go anywhere and about any church. I can preach that message. I mean, I've done it. But, boy, if you go start talking about speaking in tongues, I'm telling you, trouble's coming. Did you ever ask a question and wonder why? Did you ever wonder why that you can go and run through those gifts from the book of 1 Corinthians and you can walk into Baptist church and talk about discernment and prophecy and you can talk about these things and, you know, and everything's fine, but the moment you say speaking in tongues, they lose their mind. Did you ever wonder that, brother? It's the only one. It's the only controversial gift that really stirs that sentiment, and I found out why. And I'm going to share it with you here this morning, because if you don't have it, you're going to want to leave here today with it. Now, I want you to see this. We got to go back to Genesis. And we got to go back to the third chapter. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning with the 8th verse, it says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden. How many have read that verse of Scripture? Come on. Or heard it preached. Now, how many of you have thought this? They could hear his sandals as he was walking down through there, or they could hear the dust flying, or they could hear him kicking rocks. Ain't that kind of where your mind goes? They heard the sound of him walking. So the first thing we think of, it's the noise of someone walking. Well, you got to read this, because if you watch it, you'll miss it. He says, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden. There's the Lord. How do you know it's him? Because he's speaking to everything. Hello, tree that I grew you. How are you? Remember Jesus and the fig tree? What did he do? He spoke to the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree. Here's the Lord walking through the garden. Hello, fig tree. Hello, giraffe. How are you? He's speaking into all of these things because he is life, and life proceeds from his voice. And Adam says they heard him speaking, and they knew he was coming, and so they hid themselves. And then he says, Adam, where were you? He says, well, I hid yourself. Why did you hide yourself? Because I heard the voice of the Lord in the garden. And so here God is. He's speaking. But the thing is, Adam is communicating with him. Now, here's our problem. We think in English terms. We think in French terms. We think in Spanish terms. We think in Hebrew terms. And so we envision when we read this, we're reading this from the context, well, they're the Lord and Adam. They're just having this conversation in English. But ho, 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 got to show you something. The the language that God speaks, all things are possible. Amen? God speaks everything. He looked at the world and he says, boom, there's the world. Boom, there's the sun. Boom, there's the moon. He spoke these things. So God's voice is creative. It is powerful. It is a unique language. Adam had the ability, now keep this in mind, Adam had the ability to communicate with God in that, because watch this, when they ate of the tree of knowledge, God said, we need to get them out of the garden, because if they eat the tree of life, they will live forever and be just like us.
Amen. That's good.
Now watch this. If you go to Genesis 11, there's an event that takes place. Now, the whole earth had one language and one speech. Genesis 11, verse 1. First thing out of the mouth of God. The whole world had the same language and the same speech. Where did this language and speech come from? Very simple. It came from Adam. Adam had a language. He taught Cain and Abel. Abel dies, he gets Seth. He teaches Seth his language. And then the next thing you know, generations are being born, and the 10th in the generation is a man by the name of Noah. Noah speaking the same language that his grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather, all the way back to Adam speaks, because there's only one language. Who was the original talker? Adam. So we get down to here. Now we're talking about the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then we've got Ham here. Ham gives birth to a son named Cush. Cush gives birth to a man named Nimrod. And yet everybody is still speaking the same language as God spoke. Now watch this. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar, and they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So Nimrod decides, we're going to build a city, and we're also going to build a tower that reaches into the heavens. Now, you all know as well as I do, it is impossible to build a physical tower big enough to reach clear into outer space and into the heavens. But watch this. This is what Nimrod purposes. I'm going to do this. I'm going to build this city, and I'm going to build this tower, and this is what I'm going to do. Now watch what happens. But the Lord come down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing they purpose to do will be withheld from them. God said, they want to put a tower in the heaven because they're operating under the same language that we originally operated in them, which is my language. Nothing is impossible to them. And so watch what God does. God says, come. Who's he speaking to? Here we get the Trinity. Come. Let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. God said, come on, Jesus. Come on, Holy Ghost. We're going down. We're going to mess their language up. We got to take away from them the language of God and give them Spanish and English and Hebrew and all these other languages, because if they continue in the language of God, nothing is impossible to them. Now here, I'll prove this. Watch this. Zephaniah 3, 8 and 9. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord. This is Zephaniah 3, 8 and 9. Until the day I rise up for plunder. What are we talking about? For the determination is to gather the nations to assemble of the kingdoms, to pour out on them my indignation and my fierce anger. We're talking about the tribulation. We're talking about the end of times. All the earth shall be devoured with fire of my jealousy. And watch what he says. For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language. And guess what happens in that pure language? You live forever. You don't die. You live with the King. And you become like the Most High because you receive a glorified body. And you now have a glorified tongue. Now, watch this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I've heard this preached in Baptist circles all my life. Verse 8. Charity never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, and whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether they be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For what we know in part, we prophesy in part. But watch verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which in part shall be done away with. Everybody's ever preached this and taught this and tried to say that when it says the tongues that will be done away with is the speaking in tongues that you receive upon the receiving of the gifts and the cessation of those gifts. That's the way the Baptist circles do. They use that, and it's theoretically wrong because they can't line it up with any other scripture. It says that these tongues, whatever they speak in, will be done away with. And we think about that, the charismatic gifts. I think about it this way. Think about this. Go back to Zephaniah 3, 8 and 9. The Lord says, I'm going to return a pure language. What will happen is when I come, I will do away with all those Englishes and Spanishes and French, and we're all going to speak the pure language once again, the language of God. And nothing will be impossible to them. If they want to build a tower into the heavens, they can build a tower into the heavens because they will be one people with one tongue. And we get, now watch this. If God came down, and we know He did, as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit, and confounded the languages, what do you think it will take to restore the pure language? How about a son who comes down and gives you a heart after the Father? And when you begin to seek the Father because you found the Savior, it says that the Father will give you His Holy Spirit. And where? Wait a minute. Come on. In Mark chapter 16, it says, and He said to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. They will, in My name, they will cast out demons and they will speak with new tongues. You can speak into the flesh till you're blue in the face. And not a lot will happen. 5 years ago, I was in Nicaragua. And when you go during an altar service there, you don't have an interpreter because literally thousands are coming. And you don't have enough people to help you. And so you ask the question, what in the world will I do? Well, let me tell you what you do. You begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And I'll never forget, and I looked into the distance, and I saw this man coming. And man, I could see him probably from 100 yards off. And I could just tell, as one of those things you recognize in the spirit, he was beelining, coming right at me. And I thought, oh, Lord, I can see it. This is demonic. This is going to be a mess. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Ain't no interpreter around. I'm here by myself. Oh, Lord. And so he comes up there, and he's a-rocking, and he's a-wailing, and he's a-babbling and saying something. And I don't know if it was Spanish or what it was, but all I know was I heard the Holy Ghost say, I speak to you in the ancient language. And when I said that, that thing manifested, went ballistic and went wild. And I, in the Holy Ghost, spoke and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out of him right now. I mean, the stench of drunkenness left him. He became as sober can be, stood up upright, and we stood right there and held a conversation. I said, I want you to get on your knees. He got on his knees. I want you to bow your head. He bowed his head. I said, I want you to pray after me. And he mumbled the exact same words right after me as he received Christ. Listen, I'm telling you, in the flesh you will fail, but when it's the Holy Ghost of God, there is nothing that's impossible to you. Rock about got me. Who put that rock there? Ezekiel did not speak to the dry bones in the flesh. Who directed him? The Lord says, speak to them. He was in the Holy Ghost. He'd been out for 7 days. Go check it out. He was slain in the spirit. He said, I was in the spirit for 7 days. And people say, I don't know if I don't want that gift. Or the church says, that gift's... Notice the gift that puts you in the most power and the closest to God, ain't that surely the gift that Satan doesn't want you to have? Now watch, I'm going to close with this. Here just a couple of weeks ago, I sat down and went through the description of Satan. Might have caused me to stumble, but I did not fall. Come on. And I looked at the jewels that it talks about on Satan's covering. It's got 10 of them. And then I went and looked at the breastplate of the high priest. The breastplate of the high priest is 12 jewels, plus they're all set in gold. 4 rows of 3. And I got to the third row, and they are the, can't remember off the top of my head now, the jacinth, the agate, and something else. Amethyst and something else, I can't remember. But anyway. It's interesting because if you read it, the first one, the definition of it says, there is no definition. We don't know where it comes from or how it got there. There's no word for it in the Hebrew. The word has no root, no nothing. Second one, what was it? It was the, yeah, I want to make sure I get it right. The second one is, oh, is split tongues of fire. And the third one is to bind and seal. That entire row is not mentioned in the description of Satan. It has no beginning. It's just there. It's like a split tongue of fire, and it binds and seals you. And that description is not in Satan's description. He's got the rest of them, but he don't have those three. God says, you're going to be my high priest. The last guy that I had him to set and covereth, there was something I didn't give him, I'm going to give you, which is my spirit. And it's in my spirit you have the ability to speak. If two or more come into an agreement, what is bound on earth is bound in heaven. And what's loosed in heaven is loosed on earth. We can never come into an agreement unless we do one thing. We talk. See, the problem in this country right now, nobody's talking to one another. They're just talking. They're just speaking out here in the atmosphere. And we hear it and it flips us out and makes us upset. You know what? Why can't we just come into agreement? I hate this term. We agree to disagree. Well, then you're divided. In every disagreement, there's common ground. Let the disagreement go and come to the common ground. Speak. that's when you're most like God. See, you can't speak to a demon in the flesh. Let me prove this one more. All right, one more thing, real quick. I love this stuff. I ask God silly questions all the time. And I say, God, I want to go back to the garden for a minute. And he obliges me. Okay. And I'm sure he's probably sitting there shaking his head going, lucky I love you. Apple your eye. And I said, Lord, why did Satan come in the form of a serpent? Matter of fact, I said, Lord, I'm going to throw something else out there before you even answer that one. He loves it when I do that. Why did Satan enter into Judas to go into the priest to make the deal to get the 30 pieces of silver and go to do the... I said, why did he do that? And here's what the Lord said to me. Because you see, without a physical host, he lacks the ability to speak to you because he has no spiritual way of speaking to you. So he takes upon himself a physical host and he speaks to you in the flesh. The snake had to be a willing host where he could speak in the flesh. It says all animals had the same language at that time. And it says that the flesh, he was able to enter in, use the flesh of the serpent to speak to Eve because she was there in the flesh. And he lacked the ability to communicate with her. And Judas had to be indwelled. That's the only other place where it ever talks about Satan ever entering into anybody, is when he entered into Judas, because he had to go to communicate to people and take him through the flesh and not through the spirit, because he can't speak to your spirit. You only give him the power to speak in your life by your own choice. At the name of Jesus, all demons flee. At the name of Jesus, we speak life and not death. At the name of Jesus, we curse cancer and disease and plague. Because God has given us the ability by his Spirit to not to deal with things on a flesh. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. See, he gave us the ability. I can sit here and speak to the flesh all day, but I'm hoping right now what you're getting is coming from my spirit, is that God is speaking into your spirit and saying, listen, let's get this thing. Let's operate in this thing. Let's walk down through the town, and man, we don't even have to walk up and lay hands on something. We can just speak it into existence because the power of God is in us. So this morning, are you operating in that gift? Speaking in tongues. It is the deposit. Remember, the Holy Spirit of God is God's down payment, his deposit, until the conclusion of all things. And what he's given you is a deposit of that pure language that he's going to restore. Well, all that stammering tongue and mumbling lips makes me nervous. You're going to be real nervous in glory. Because I believe that's the pure language. You know, it said that when the high priest would go in once a year, they said there was a language that hid him that nobody knew, wherein he would make the offering to atone for the sins of the nation for the entire year. Only hid him once a year. He came into the presence of God. The presence of God lives in you as a child of God. It's there. Scripture says, take upon you the whole armor of God, right? Preached it, good Lord, I don't know how many times. Jet Rock. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. I know it's not in order. Breastplate of righteousness, loins girt with truth, the shield of faith, and the gospel of peace, the sandals. Got it, right? Nope. I left off a piece. Oh, wait a minute. Shield, sword, helmet, breastplate, loins, shoes. You got all six pieces. There's seven. Turn that to Ephesians chapter 6 for me. You got it, brother? Read that verse. Read the one, I don't know, 12. Let me see here. Stand therefore, helmet of salvation. Okay, read 17 for me.
Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
That's where we stop, right? Read the next verse, brother.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all presence, perseverance, and supplication for all the saints.
There's another article to that armor.
Yes, amen.
We stop at the helmet and the sword and everything. We get to that verse and that's where we cut it off. But it goes into the 18th verse and it says, and praying with all supplication in the Spirit. When you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, you left an open door. Speak. Want to rebuke the enemy? You got to speak to it. Want to fix that rebellious child? Speak to him. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke every principality, every demonic spirit, every demon that's coming against you in the name of Christ. And if the enemy says, well, that ain't going to work, you are a liar, because I am most like God when I begin to speak life in the Spirit. Let's stand this morning. Do you got that gift this morning? Are you immersed in the Spirit of God? If you want to be like God, you need to be. And at one time you might have been, and you might need a fresh touch. And if you're lost, you need to receive the spoken word this morning and receive Christ. Listen, get in the Spirit. Get a prayer language. Pray in the Holy Ghost and deal with those problems. Because listen, I would give anything to have a national platform to come out and say, I want every born-again believer who prays in the Holy Ghost to this day repent of their sins and then begin to pray in the Holy Ghost about all the problems in our country. I want you to rebuke principalities and powers. I don't want you to worry about the flesh. I don't want you to worry about individuals, organizations. I don't want you to worry about that. I want you to pray against spiritual wickedness in high places. I bet you would be absolutely shocked what would happen. Whatever your need is this morning, if it's healing, I believe you can have it. If it's deliverance, if it's restoration, if it's indwelling presence and fullness of God's presence, you can have it. It's up to you. And if you're lost and you don't know Christ, it's up to you. All you got to do is speak out and say, Lord, I need you. From the heart, from the Spirit, and He will save you. Pastor Rob, thank you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Greg laid it out for us. First of all, the power that is in that spoken word and praying in the Spirit. Listen, sometimes even as a believer I've prayed in the Spirit for many, many years, but sometimes I forget about the power that's in that. Sometimes I just get caught up in the flesh and the situations that are going on in my life, and I forget that I can bombard the gates of hell with the spiritual language that the enemy cannot stop. It's awesome. So this morning, what I like to do is I like anybody who would like to be filled with the Spirit, receive your prayer language. Now you may already have the Holy Spirit. I believe that when you receive Jesus, your personal Savior. But there's another level that comes when we receive this prayer language in our life. It just lifts us up. It gives you more power to be able to walk through this life on a daily basis. So if there's anybody right now that would like to have that in your life, I want you to come up right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Worship Center. I hope you enjoyed this message from one of our anointed visiting speakers. Please visit our website to learn more about our ministry at BethelWC.org. Reaching the world for Jesus Christ.